Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:06 British Summertime. Today is May 11th. Well, this has been a rather interesting day from the point of view that we're starting to see some people starting to talk about the S&P running out of steam a little bit. Of course, it's down 2.15% into the close, still above 900 points. But this was generally an easier day for stock markets. And we saw government bonds bouncing from the 120 level, which is probably the first area of potential support, or in the case of yields, they're also in areas of potential resistance, both on the 30 and the 10-year. And we have had a remarkably good run to the upside, and there is no evidence just yet that it is over. What I am merely saying is that people are starting to talk about this rally running out of steam. I think there was an article on Bloomberg I just saw talking about the number of companies that had already beaten the expectations of analysts for full year performance. And I think it was up to a third of the companies in the S&P to date. And of course, this has already been a historic bull run with almost 9 consecutive weeks on the upside. So we are approaching, I suppose it isn't unreasonable to expect that this remarkably good run will run out of steam at some point. But of course, the most important factor is that the world continues to have been divided up into two very distinct halves. Because on the one hand, we have Wall Street, we have Europe, and to a lesser extent, Japan, which is underperforming. And particularly in the case of the European indices and Wall Street, we're seeing that they are rallying back up towards the upper side of their ranges. And people are starting to look at what have been remarkably good performances over the last couple of months and saying, really, is this time to start taking profits? You could apply the same logic to the emerging Asian or commodity producing Latin American countries. But in their case, they've already broken upwards from their bases. They never broke down in February, and they have been outperforming for the last 7 or 8 months. On that metric alone, they're worthy of notice. But the very fact that they've broken up from their bases, that they have so much room to consolidate these gains and still maintain their upward breaks, move into at the very least a first step above the base, and at best that they can move into consistent uptrends, is not only a mark that these are performing markets or that they are high beta. They're more than high beta because they outperformed from the outset and that they have moved upwards before other markets. So that is certainly worthy of mention, but the very fact that they have led to the upside indicates that they're a prime destination for investment flows. That when people look around and they take off their bearish cap and start to look around and see where they want to put their money for the medium to longer term, it is looking increasingly likely that that is going to be into emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America. When we look at the chart of how the rest of the world is performing relative to the S&P, it bears a striking resemblance to the Asian dollar index and to the Latin American dollar index over the last 10 years, in that it moved to outperformance, the rest of the world moved to outperformance relative to the S&P from 2002, peaked in 2008, found support in October, and has moved back to outperformance. The very fact that we can say that about all the markets relative to the S&P in terms of their stock markets, and that Asian currencies and Latin American currencies are outperforming relative to the dollar, and that the dollar has become extremely overvalued, and given the commonality in the shape of these patterns, we could also say that the rest of the world is relatively undervalued relative to the S&P. So this is, I think, an indication of where investment flows will be heading over the medium to longer term. In the short term, we've had a very, very good rally. And no, it isn't over yet. And we will have clear signs that it is over when we get clear downward dynamics in not just some of the leading markets, but a lot of markets all at the same time. But more importantly, when this very consistent progression of higher lows for the vast majority of markets has been broken for these short-term uptrends over the last couple of months. When that progression of higher lows has been taken out, that would be a clear indication to us that we're moving into a consolidation of these gains. And while we are seeing a little bit of softness in markets today, and notably China made a new high this morning but encountered resistance around the 2800 level on the Shanghai A shares and closed on the low of the day, so encountering a little bit of resistance here. And follow through tomorrow would probably suggest to us that this loss of momentum that we've seen over the last month or so is the beginning of a pullback and consolidation of these very impressive gains. And that would at least be a signal to us that another one of these leading markets is losing consistency. But people aren't really going to sit up and take notice until we see downward dynamics that break the progression of higher lows on, for example, the Dow or the S&P. Then that is more likely to have a greater knock-on effect, because the power of the Wall Street leash effect, regardless of the fact that Wall Street is a lagging market, has that psychological impact on large numbers of investors, and it will be enough to scare people into taking profits, or at least to raise stops, and then we will start to move into a consolidation of these gains. Importantly, when we had that weakness on Friday in the US dollar, we haven't had any follow-through in that today. The dollar is a bit steadier today, and it just doesn't look like we're going to have consecutive days here. When it does look like we're going to get a prolonged period of weakness for any one of these currencies, or strength in the opposite numbers, they are just not following through. But it does increasingly look like the dollar is in a topping out phase relative to a large number of currencies. And with that in mind, given the fact that you have big yield differentials between the US and other markets, particularly in the emerging world, and the prospect for the dollar to get weaker, and the wall of liquidity that is hitting markets, the conditions are ripe for carry trades to be put on. And if investors are taking up that opportunity, both perhaps in the dollar and in the yen, then there is quite a lot of potential for that wall of money to go back into these higher yielding assets, and it is exactly the same play that was so pressured back in September and October, where we saw massive liquidation of carry trades. But the conditions are ripe now for that low cost of funding to be put back to use in higher yielding assets or in performing assets. And for the moment, that is certainly in these emerging economies and increasingly in the commodity sector. The sugar price ran into a little bit of trouble today, but has also performed remarkably well. Cotton also remains very consistent. Actually, that's not an also, but cotton does remain consistent. Soybeans continues to remain above this 1100 cent level. Silver was pretty much flat on the day today, encountering a little bit of resistance around this $14 level, which is the upper side of the range over the last 2 months, and a downward dynamic really would be needed to check the potential for this to break to the upside. When we look at the performance of silver, for example, relative to gold, then there is significant potential for silver to outperform in the medium term. Gold was a little bit softer in here today, but continues to hold above this $900 level and seems to be gradually edging back up towards this $1,000 level. People are starting to ask the question whether gold will perform if we see stock markets moving into a period of consolidation. And I think that there is a likelihood that gold will be able to hold on to more of its gains than stock markets, because it has already gone through quite a period of consolidation, whereas stock markets have been very steady over the last 8 weeks, and 9 consecutive weeks on the upside for a large number of these markets makes gold and stock markets really quite distinct in their trading action. And gold is, I think, at less of a risk of a substantial pullback and consolidation from current levels because it's already been doing that for much of the last 2 months. There is, of course, the argument that because gold and stock markets had moved out of sync back, 2 or 3 months ago, that gold was being sold to put that money back to work in the stock markets. And that would suggest that the people who had bought gold as a hedge against their stock market portfolios have already sold that gold and reinvested it, in which case there is, and that is a, one less group of people willing to sell gold. And given the fact that you have this fantastic commonality in the length of time that gold has moved through these consolidations over the last 7 or 8 years, it's spent two previous occasions in consolidations which have been volatile and difficult to predict and murderously difficult to trade, but then moves into these remarkably consistent uptrends when the ex when it hits an explosion of or a lack of supply above the market. And gold has now been consolidating for more than a year and is pushing back up towards the upper side of its range. And it wouldn't be too much of a bold prediction to expect it to be able to sustain a move above $1,000 at some point this year, because it is certainly starting to look like that is a possibility. Oil was slightly weaker in here today, but pushing back up towards the $60 level. It's been remarkably steady over the last few months, and all those people that predicted that oil was going to go back to $10 have, I think, been proved wrong at this point. And the risks do appear to be to the upside. But the question is, how long is that upside going to take to develop? Because it looks increasingly like this is going to be a lengthy convalescence in the energy market. There is certainly still some room for the energy complex to appreciate, and nothing has occurred yet to offset scope for this to push higher. But expectations aren't even being voiced now that this could get back up towards $150, and I wouldn't expect that for a number of years. And that is probably a good thing for the international economy, or the global economy, because the threat of higher energy prices isn't really much good for anybody. Looking at the government bond sector, we see that treasuries are finding support around this 120 level, but the mortgage rates and the spread of mortgage rates over treasuries has contracted violently over the last month or so. So the focus of the US policy of quantitative easing has been more active in the mortgage market, where they've been accepting mortgage bonds as collateral, or they've been out going out and outright buying them, and they're now also accepting CMBS, which are commercial properties. So there is, they've certainly been successful in getting these reset rates down, which is important from the point of view that we do have this big option ARM reset coming up from the middle of this year. So we're probably only about a month away from the beginning of this avalanche, and it will go through until 2011. What we don't know is how much or to what extent these option ARMs, which were also referred to as liar loans, are already in the market. Of course, these people are not stupid. They will be looking at the market and be saying that sooner rather than later to get out of a house that's underwater would be better. So we may already be seeing a foreclosure process which includes these option ARMs. Obviously, the reset schedule will have a deleterious effect on that part of the market, but I think that it may not be as bad as people are anticipating, given the fact that it is a known known, rather than when we had the subprime schedule back in 2007 or in 2008 that people weren't particularly aware of. And people are very aware of the the reset schedule now. So, given the fact that there is that awareness out there, there's a much higher probability that it is going to be in the market. And if that is the case, that does remove an impediment to economic growth and to a bottoming out process in the housing market. We haven't seen a pullback in US property like this before, to my knowledge. Certainly not as swift as this one. But because this is my hypothesis, at least, because it is an unsecured market that people can walk away from their properties, then you would expect prices to fall faster. And if that's the case, you would expect them to reach a bottom faster. We don't have evidence yet that the property market in the USA has hit bottom, and there is the distinct probability that we're going to hear anecdotal evidence that people are starting to buy before any of these indices ever start to turn upwards. The stock market, though, is looking increasingly likely that it has bottomed. And if this is a lead indicator, as it has been on every other occasion we've hit these types of recessions, then we would expect the economy to bottom out at some point later this year. Now, that is a consensus view, but unless we start to see stock markets push back down towards their lows and make new lows, which is looking increasingly unlikely, then we can probably give the benefit of the doubt that we are in the latter half of this recession. And certainly the performance that we're seeing from emerging markets suggests that people are reallocating. And if you have grave doubts about the performance of these lagging economies over the medium to longer term, well, then there is always the option of just not investing there. And if we have the currency tailwind behind us as well, then we have the added bonus that we're in an appreciating stock market in emerging markets with an appreciating currency as well. With that, I will leave you for the evening and wish you all the best to all of you.